Very pleased to have with us now sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Terry Pluto. Terry, welcome to the show.
Hello, Vic.
Well, the off season upon us, and I guess it officially starts. I know it started here, obviously, after the Pittsburgh game, but it officially starts for the NFL at large after the Super Bowl. And, Terry, as you were watching Super Bowl 46, great a game as it was, I guess we don't watch any of these, anything that happens in football without looking through the prism of the Browns and how you sort of see this team, the Browns team, versus, you know, what you see in what ended up being the two best teams playing, if they were that, playing for the NFL championship. What kind of thoughts did you have along those lines?
Yeah, the obvious place people go is quarterbacks. And you know, when you're talking about Manning and Brady and whatever we've been watching with the Browns, I mean, that, you know, clearly they've got upgrade quarterback and those kind of things. But generally, when I watch the playoffs, the difference I notice is the other teams just seem so much quicker than the Browns. There just seem to be more impact players, whether you're talking about an offense or defense. And when I look at the Browns, I'm hoping in this upcoming draft that they just get some more speed, not guys that are just fast. I remember they had Sean Thompson here. They used to say, you know, he can get there quick. He just didn't know where he was going. And you don't want those guys. But I, you know, whether you're talking receivers or this, yeah, Hayden's got some speed, a couple other guys, but the Browns just don't have those quick guys. And that's, you know, that's what I see in those playoff teams.
Yeah, I think, and it's interesting you bring that up, because the discussion before this season was that they got much younger, which is a fact, that they did get a lot younger than they were in 2010. And I think by getting younger, you generally get faster. So they probably made improvement on the speed side just because they got younger in the course of a season, but clearly there's more that needed.
I think so, and because really you look at, let's say, linebacker position where you want more speed there. They need that. And, you know, Sheard brought some at defensive end, and look what an impact he did make.
Right.
And, you know, the tackles are quick for tackles in the middle of the line. But when you're talking running back, you're talking receiver. I would like to see a safety. T.J. Ward's a hitter, but I don't think anybody's ever said, well, this guy's really quick, you know, or he's a guy that's going to pick off passes. So that's why there's plenty of room for them to go. I mean, I keep hearing, Vic, from some people, not with the Browns, but from, you know, other NFL people, that they think the Browns might go defense, you know, up in the draft, whether it's Claiborne or someone else. And I could see why they would be thinking that if they don't feel a quarterback is something they want to take there, just because you want to get more of the, you know, more of those guys that you watch them play and you say, wow.
Right, right. And what's interesting about the defensive discussion as it relates to the Super Bowl, we were hearing all kinds of, well, this is going to be the shootout. This is going to be Tom Brady and Eli Manning just lighting it up, and we're going to see a ping-pong game. And that didn't happen. And why it didn't happen, for I think first and foremost, is because both teams, not just the Giants, who had a little bit better defense going in statistically, but they certainly have an outstanding front four, played solid, good defense. And I think it was a reminder that is important, that as much as we'll hear the discussion of quarterbacks throwing for 5,000 yards and what a crazy year this was with offenses blowing up all over the place, the teams that play solid defensively are still going to be relevant. And that much we can say for this Browns team in terms of how they play defense, a top 10 defense this past year.
Yeah, it was – that to me is one of the unheralded stories of Diggs around. Not just made the defense to be, you know, like the top 10 defense, the best since they came back, but did it while switching strategy around, breaking in several new players, doing a lot of it without Fujita. I mean, Kaluka Maeva starting a lot. Maybe the Browns think he's a starter or whatever. I don't, but they certainly got a lot of mileage out of him. And I think Geron did a great job disguising a lot of their weaknesses. And I know that the New England defense was pretty much terrible in the regular season, but by playoff time, those guys are really playing well.
Yes.
And you know how that goes, Vic. It's, you know, how you're playing in December and then into January that often dictates what happens in the playoffs, not so much that, you know, aggregate number next to your name for, say, the first 12 games. You know, you kind of pick it up with the last three or four and then take it into the playoffs.
Terry Pluto, outstanding sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Terry, you watched, you're a close observer of Bill Belichick going back to his days as a Browns head coach, and then his time, of course, with the Patriots. As you observe what this loss means to his legacy, what kind of thoughts do you have there? And maybe bigger picture, what it means to the whole Patriot legacy of having won three Super Bowls but now lost their last two.
I think it means you went to five, Vic. You get right down to it. And how many teams could say that? And, yes, it would have been nice to, you know, to win one of those last two for Belichick, but I don't think anybody who has a Hall of Fame discussion of coaches or votes or any of the other things say, let's see, Belichick lost a couple Super Bowls. You know, you were in Buffalo. That's painful for all that. But, look, you know, Jim Kelly, all those guys, they're revered in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because of what they did. And, you know, the full weight of the accomplishment isn't appreciated until it's gone. You know, until Belichick is gone, until somebody else is trying to do it. I just keep looking at the team going, how did it get to the Super Bowl? I know Gronkowski was hurt, and I know he's a great tight end. But, you know, Danny Woodruff and these guys, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And I know they have Brady and things. I just think that he squeezed everything he could out of that team. You know, he got it that far. You know, the Giants, I think because they have, what were they, 9-7 in regular season, they seem mediocre. But, they really have a lot of talent when they kind of get it going. I mean, the nice thing about Manning with his receivers, now he made some nice throws, but, man, he also could – some of those balls, he just gunned them up there nice and high, and it was like, my receiver, I'll jump your back and right. come down with the ball.
Right, right. And you're right. I mean, we are talking about 31st-ranked defense. We're talking about a lesser receiving core, and if we just talk about pure receivers, mm-hmm. than what Eli Manning certainly had to work with. So, yeah, I think
you got to get – nobody has 700 yards rushing. I don't think anybody did on the Patriots.
No, running back by committee, which means you really don't have a running back and or a great one. So, Tom Brady you do have Tom Brady. But, yeah, Belichick, right, in the grand scheme of things – years from now when that Hall of Fame consideration comes up, it's the fact that he got them to five, and I don't necessarily think it diminishes either, but I know in these famous, what we love to do in this business, Terry, as you know, is rank. Okay, so where do we put him among great coaches? Where do we put Brady among great quarterbacks as it applies to, say, Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, who each have four Super Bowl wins?
Right with them. That's all. I mean, so one is four and one is three.
Yeah.
I mean, how many guys? You know, how many guys couldn't get there?
Right.
And I guess the remarkable thing is, and if Belichick goes there again in the next two or three years, would anybody be surprised?
No. Oh no, not at all.
I mean, that's the only. Even though you sit there, you go, well, you know, that's a pretty good team and everything, but you don't sit there and go, man, this is a young team just on the verge of really having a nice 3-year run.
Right.
But if I told you, all right, they don't go and. Next year, but they go the following year. You know, one last hurrah for Brady and all that. Would you be surprised? I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. No, I think there's still some good years left in.
And that's because of Bill, too, and the way they've built that thing. And, you know, Bill changes drafting philosophy and everything dramatically from when he was here to the next time around. Because here was back when the Clifford Charlton days and Craig Powell, and I'll just get these athletes and I'll coach them up and all that. And then he went to drafting, you know, quote-unquote football players. And realizing that you got to have a player willing to be coached to coach him up,
right?
And that was Scott. That was a Scott Pioli influence on him tremendously. And that's really what took him from being he was always good with the X's and O's and those things. But you know, it took some humility to do that, and also giving Pioli a lot more say over the draft. And so it'll be to me, it's going to be interesting in the next few years to see how things go because Pioli isn't running their drafts anymore,
right? Hey, Terry, the Browns hire Brad Childress, not a shocker because his name had just been floated out there as the likely guy for a while. So he has the job now. Just some thoughts on him coming aboard with the years of experience, 33 years of coaching experience, and what kind of influence impact you're thinking there.
And more importantly, Vic, is that, you know, 4.5 years as a head coach. And people act like what happened in Minnesota is if this guy – kept going 3-13 every year, and he went from 6 wins to 8 wins to 10 wins. Now, that's before he got Brett Favre. Then he went to 12 with Favre, and then, of course, the whole thing with Favre blows up. And you could talk to the last couple of coaches that had Favre. You know, you kind of have the prince walking on high, and he can drive everybody nuts if things go the wrong way. So The fact that children fell prey to that, I don't really hold a lot of that against him. I like the fact he's been a head coach. I think it'll help Shurmur immensely. I would like some clarity that he was going to be calling the plays. My sense is that is not the case. You know, they have this whole system of the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator kind of in the press box together with the coach on the field and sort of picking from two or three plays. Some of the Browns explained this to me, and that's how they do it. And I know it worked for Andy Reid and a couple others, but to me, I just think a young coach, it really helps to just sit there and do the big picture and let your coordinators make the calls. And clearly Childress could do that. And maybe they changed their minds, too, as it goes on, and let him do that. I found it interesting in looking into Childress's background that, you know, his first year with the Vikings, he did make the play calls, but then he turned it over after that first year as a head coach. Now, he still had, you know, his fingerprints were all over the game plan and everything else. But I think you realize that, hey, there's a lot going on in the field. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you go to talk to an official, and all of a sudden 10 seconds later, you got to go make a play call, you know.
Right. And the other part of this offseason, of course, is the draft coming up. Mm-hmm. Combine, it will be the next kind of big event, but free agency on March 13th and then draft in April. You hear from – I love your ability to kind of keep a finger on the pulse of the fans and the feedback they give you all the time. But including what I get here in terms of social media interaction with our listeners and fans, the concept that people have it all figured out. You know, they tell you exactly what they want this team to do. But if you had to tell me the gauge right now of what overwhelmingly the opinion is that you're hearing as to what they want to see this team do, what would it be right now?
Well, the Cleveland fans have been down for so long, they want the savior. And so they usually set their hearts on a quarterback, and they want RG3. He's exciting to watch. He's a very intriguing talent. And they also just kind of think, well, he'll be there at number four, which most NFL people don't think so. Or they think the Browns should just, quote, do what you got to do to go get him. Well, you've been around the league too. Do you know oftentimes they do what you have to do to go get him? You wish you hadn't done it later.
It's dramatic.
You usually hate trading out of desperation.
Yeah.
That's what they want. They want the quarterback to cheer for, the one that's going to come in. And you know, I understand that Cam Newton had a lights-out year with Carolina, and Andy Dalton played well at Cincinnati. But you know how rare it is for rookie quarterbacks to do well. And you also have to make sure if you take Griffin that, if you're just going to have him under center most of the time, I think that's a mistake. Mm. I realize he may be able to do it, but that's not how he's done it. And so, but the fans, they want the pain to stop. They really do. And they want to, like, take one magic pill, one magic pick.
Yeah.
And the tough thing about football is, you know, 22 basically play at a time, 11 on offense, 11 on defense, and you're just always trying to fill this hole, that hole. It's not like in the NBA where you could drop one guy into a team and then suddenly, you know, like even a 19-year-old Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Yeah, he hasn't, not turning the Cavaliers into an instant playoff team, but he took them from a team that, you know, was the worst in the NBA to suddenly one on any given night is liable to win a game and is going to win a lot more games than they won last year because only five play at a time and one guy could dominate the ball like that. So.
Yeah.
They want the shortcut, Vic, and there is none. And I do think Heckert and Holmgren know that. It's just that they got to keep selling it, and that's a tough one. But if they could just show some progress, you know, if they went 8-8 next year, people would be like writing songs about the team.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's no doubt. And I love your point about the savior angle. It is a much more difficult thing to find in football than in other sports. Terry, great stuff as always. Always love to catch up with you, and we'll do it again as the offseason progresses.
Anytime, Vic.
He is Terry Pluto, sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.